that's on the way. My name is Priscilla Temba, the chairperson of the Select Committee on Labor and Public Enterprises. I chair this committee. You are all more than welcome. We have long been putting you on our program, but when times come, you find that sometimes it's constituency period, sometimes it's recess. So today, we made it, you know, to meet with you. But firstly, let me apologize for the CEO who is not here. He was supposed to start with us and leave us at 3, but I understand he is still held up in cabinet meeting. So, honorable members, today is our day with the government communications. So, members will introduce themselves, and afterwards, DCIS will also introduce themselves. And we're hoping to hear from you your presentation of the threat plan for 2012. Over to you, members. Honorable Mabiti.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm Mabija Lebohane, representing Limpopo Province and whip of this meeting.
Good morning, good day, everybody. I'm Bresala Jacobs, member of the committee, represent the Free State.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Zola Mlevana, member of this committee representing the province of the Eastern Cape.
Sanbonani, igama umdikeni uPatrick Ngwakasibande isibongo ngivela eMpumalanga province, ngilunga lale committee.
Donet.
My name is Renal Barita, and I'm the researcher for the committee.
Loli. My name is Loli Pumelele CBC. I'm the committee secretary.
Good day, my name is Dean Woodington. I'm the committee assistant.
Thank you, Chairperson. On behalf of GCIS, I'd like to thank the committee for inviting us. It is always a pleasure for us to come and present to Parliament on what we work, what we are doing. And I thank you very much for expressing the apology from our CEO, who actually was meant to lead this delegation. But we're still hoping that he will be able to join us. My name is Pumla Williams. I'm the Deputy CEO in GCIS. I will actually do a presentation, a portion of the presentation on behalf of the CEO. I will be assisted by my colleague, Ms. Nebule Khwabe, who is the Deputy CEO Stakeholder Engagement. And I will also be assisted by my colleague, Tasneem Karim, who is going to be taking us through on the stakeholder engagement. Behind me, colleagues, we have our management team from GCIS. I think I have Dalton Mudiba. And I've got Terry Fandaya, I've got Lidiana Amaro, then I've got Nikelwa Tengimfene, then I've got Penelope Duli, and then we've got Kitusi Magani in front. We also are supported by our team, Pari Pillay. And at the back there, I think we've got Petra, and we've also got Lizelle. So that's the team from GCIS. I will start by giving an overview of GCIS. I think this is the framework of our presentation, Chairperson.
It was still introduction. So don't go straight to the presentation. I'll tell you when we are.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Sorry, Chairperson.
So So we've heard who's here from GCIS and the committee. We've got people seated there at the back. Can we hear who you are, please?
Thank you very much, Chair. My name is Lutando Namza. I'm from Parliament Communication Service. Thanks.
Hi. Oh, okay, can you hear me? Okay. My name is James Class. I'm from Media 24. I'm a journalist. Thank you.
My name is Alvis Kanyelens from Sowetan.
I'm Caroline Kutzer from PNG.
DCIS, you will be telling us on your strategic planning for 2012, only 2012 to 2017. Okay, I understand that there have been some confusion about our request, but I think now you've got it. Yeah, over to you.
I think having been told on your briefing, I'm going to try and speak briefly on the overview, but I think the idea is that we will give Ms. Lekwabe more time to actually talk to the provincial work of GCIS. So I will just go through the presentation. I think the mandate of GCIS in the main is to provide strategic leadership in government communication. We also coordinate government communication system to ensure that there is coherence in the message of government. One of the mandates that GCIS has is to actually provide some guidance to the public entity that is Media Development and Diversity Agency, which is focusing on promoting advocacy for media development and diversity. I believe that they will be coming to make their own presentation, so I won't elaborate on the work that they are doing, which safe to say they are doing a lot of good work in the provinces in terms of developing the media, community media and small media. The vision and mission, Chairperson, I think we would like to just emphasize the vision of GCIS that we are the pulse of communication excellence in government. The values of GCIS, I think we've elaborated them there: professionalism, diversity, openness and transparency, innovation and honesty and integrity. I think the strategic overview of GCIS, Chairperson, hinges on the five priorities of government. We want to ensure that we communicate the message of government on the five priorities of government: that of creating jobs, that of improving the quality of basic education, the health care, reduction of crime, and the rural development and land reform and food production and security. Just briefly on the situational analysis, Chairperson, I think I will just speak briefly on the challenges and some of our responses to the challenges that we face. The first challenge, Chairperson, that we have to deal with is the public's perception on government performance on the five priorities of government. One of the second challenges that GCIS has had and which we're trying to address is the issue of the cluster-client relationship, because GCIS is a department that provides support to our clients, in the main being departments, and I think we've struggled over the years to try and have that kind of a relationship with our client. The third challenge that we've had has been the limited physical resources of GCIS. I think our budget has been a challenge in ensuring that we communicate much more effectively. One of the issues is that we're trying to tackle is the uneven skills within the communication in government. The other challenge that we've had over the years has been the office space. I think GCIS, since its formation in 1998, has grown from being about plus minus 200 people. I think we've increased almost double that size, and I think our office space has always been a challenge in terms of providing the working environment for staff. And the lastly has been the inefficient media bulk buying. We've, over the years, we've always done the media bulk buying, but I think what we have been doing, we have been assisted by the agency. We've not been able to derive the savings that government has always wanted by introducing the issue of media bulk buying. Some of the responses, Chairperson, in the challenges that we have, I think we've really, really worked very hard in trying to increase the communication within our communities in terms of trying to deal with the public perceptions in terms of government. I think people tend to think that government is doing nothing. And part of the dynamics, much as we have challenges as government, but I think a bigger problem has been that the communication of some of the programs of government has not been actually coming out very strongly, and in part has been the question of resources. We would like to communicate more, but I think with the resources that we have, but I think we've tried to rejig some of our programs to make sure that we intensify more communication. I think my colleagues will be talking to some of the interventions that we introduced. The issue of the stakeholder relations, I think part of the challenge that we've had less capacity and not being able to address the needs of a different client. But in the past year, I think we have been able to employ dedicated cluster supervisors at the chief director level. And these are the colleagues that actually engage with the different departments at a cluster level, and I think we've been able to give them more attention to give them the kind of support they want. The fiscal resources, I guess these are the challenges that all government departments will be communicating about, the less budget and more work. But what we have tried to do is to reprioritize what we can. You will see, Chairperson, some of the interventions that we did, we've changed the quality of some of the publications we make, and we made them with a cheaper paper to make sure that we increase the print run. I think my colleague Tasnim will also talk to some of the interventions that we have made. The uneven skills in communication, Chairperson, cuts across government, and we also, some of our principal, we have a dedicated person that we have employed who is working closely with Palama to develop a credit-bearing qualification of communication. And I think we feel that that qualification will go a long way in ensuring that government communicators actually are upskilled in terms of communicating with government. The office space, finally, Chairperson, we're happy to report that we are now seeing the light. We have been able to get the tender, the bidding process, and we have the new offices, which we're hoping by 2013 we will be moving to new premises, bigger offices, and much more comfortable environment for our staff to work from. In-house media buying, we still have challenges, Chairperson, as I would say, indicate that in our last submission to National Treasury for additional budget, we have not been able to be given that budget, but however, we are working with the staff that we have, but we've been able to employ a dedicated chief director who will be starting with us in April in driving this ship. But I think we're happy to say that from last year, we have been able to do quite a bit in that environment. The key highlights, Chairperson, of 2011-12, briefly, I think we want to highlight the fact that we managed to get a five-year communication strategy tabled in cabinet and it was approved. So we currently have a five-year communication strategy that has been approved in June, to be exact, of government communication. The one other highlight for us in the past year has been the communication program, a campaign that we ran for the State of the Nation's address. I think a number of people would have seen the billboards that we actually tried to encourage more people to watch the State of the Nation. One of the key highlights that we have done, we've even rolled out, I think Nebu will talk to how we've rolled out the State of the Nation into districts where we're inviting the political principal to try and unpack of what is it that as government we're committing to do and what will it mean for people in the districts. I think Nebu will talk to that, and we've got quite a few of them that are lined up. We'd like to also highlight the communication support for COP17. I think CSIS has been behind and drove the communication program together with DECO and the Department of Water Energy on COP17. We also want to indicate that we hosted an editors forum of the BRICS, is it IBSA, in the past year, which we hope to continue. We hosted the first engagement between the deputy president as the leader of government at the press gallery, which is also one of the engagement which we are proud of, that it was the first time the deputy president engaged the press gallery. The other intervention as a way of trying to upscale the communication and of passing the message of government. Previously, we used to have weekly cabinet briefing, but what we have done, because cabinet meets on a fortnightly basis, we then introduced a non-cabinet week briefing. So we've tried to work out a program that on the weeks where there is no cabinet briefing, there is a briefing that happens in that week, so that the media at all times has some information of what is happening in government. Some of the product interventions in trying to make sure that there's more information that goes out to the public, we have reconfigured Vukuzenzele. I'm sure you saw some of the copies. Previously, we used to have a glossy magazine that we used to produce once every other month, bi-monthly. But with the reconfiguring of the quality of the publication without necessarily changing the content, we've been able to increase the print run and also to be able to run on a monthly basis. We've also launched a public sector magazine, which today there is a big event in Sandton where it is being launched, but it has been running for the past year. And this is a product which we try to target to the public servant. Our view is that there is about 1.2 or 1.3 million public servants that are losing out in terms of making them messengers of government, in government information and government program. And we have developed this product to make sure that the government officials are actually provided with more information of what is happening in government. There is another government communication newsletter which we also introduced as a way of developing the skills within the public service. I think this is, it comes out as an inset, but in the main, it tries to talk to government communicators, sharing of ideas or sharing of information. For instance, we would have articles like if there's a campaign that was run by either Department of Home Affairs, we will actually run an article where the official was driving that, can then unpack what is it that he did to make it a success. And we believe that kind of cross-pollination of ideas can go a long way in improving the communication within and also the communication programs of government. The other success story, Chairperson, I think we through our video and audio-visual unit, we have been able to produce material that is material that can easily be tapped on by the mainstream media. I think a lot of our photographs, if you go around, you will note that they are actually by land, they have a GCIS tag or the name of the GCIS, and we feel that that's the kind of quality that we're producing. The one other issue which I think Nebu will talk to it is another partnership that we have we actually embarked on in the last year, precisely on getting involved with the low communities, the district level and whatever. There is a partnership where the Pelo Pepa train was introduced, where all the government services were converged in some particular central point, and all the people in those districts were able to come in. I think it has been a success story, and we're looking forward to continuing with this kind of a program where the government services are taken to the people, because we believe in some cases you'd find that Tusong centers may not be quite ideal because they're not as close enough, but with this kind of an intervention, we are able to take these services to as close as possible to our communities. We have established a dedicated training unit, I think I did indicate, which is working very closely with Palama to make sure that government communicators are trained and their skills is upscaled so that they are able to better service the principals, the departments, and also the mainstream media. Chairperson, I'm just going to highlight the strategic objectives at a very high level. One of the first strategic objectives of GCIS is to build people, product, and processes to ensure that the government communication becomes effective. The second strategic objective, it is to ensure a well-functioning communication system that proactively informs and engages the public. What we try to do is that on a fortnightly basis, we invite all the government communicators where we deliberate on the communication message of government. I think in that way, we try and ensure there is some kind of coherence in terms of communicating the message of government. The third strategic objective, Chairperson, I had already made reference to it, is an efficient and effective production and advertising agency of government. We believe with this unit we are going to go a long way in ensuring that government derives some cost benefits by buying media in bulk. And I think this unit, we're hoping that it will go a long way in ensuring that kind of benefits for government. The fourth strategic objective, which relates in the main in my environment of governance, is to provide responsive, cost-effective, compliant, and business-focused corporate services. I think we take pride in making sure that this strategic objective is realized in whatever way we perform, whether it's in supplier chain, whether it's in terms of internal audit for government's purposes, and in terms of the kinds of people that we employ. I think we try and derive the strategic objective from this. Lastly, Chairperson, I think the main strategic objective that drives the GCIS is to project and defend the image of government. For instance, one of the main projects for this coming year is to address the issue of corporate identity of government. We often make an example that if you go to any Standard Bank, whether it's in Limpopo, whether it's you don't miss it. You know when you see a blue, you know that you are in Standard Bank. But in government, I think we're still battling with the image of government. In some cases, you get into any government department, you are not sure whether you are getting into a government department or not. So I think we're trying through this unit to drive and defend the image of government so that it should be the image of government where people, when they know, when they get in here, they are getting into government department. So this is the strategic objective we will be addressing. Lastly, Chairperson, in terms of GCIS and the 12 outcomes of government, we derive our objective from the outcome number 12, where we ensure that the citizen participation and making sure that there is access to information. I think that's one key thing that drives GCIS, is to make sure that there is access to information to our public, to the general public. Lastly, Chairperson, is just on a high level. I won't even read the name. This is the structure of GCIS. We've got the Minister Chabane, and the Deputy Minister, Mr. Obed Mapela, and our CEO, Mr. Jimmy Manyi, and then we've got the four DCEOs. One DCO that I did mention is vacant because of the funding. We've got Mr. Mona, who is driving the communication content and writing. I've got Ms. Lekwabe, who is driving the government and stakeholder engagement, and I'm driving the corporate services, and those are the units underneath. And these are the faces which I've already introduced, and yeah, I think that's about it. Chairperson, I'm going to hand over to Ms. Karim, who's going to talk to content, government communication and content on behalf of Mr. Mona. Thanks, Tasmin.
Thank you, Chairperson. If you don't mind, I'm going to go straight to Program 2 and some of the outputs that we are outlining there. Firstly, as spoken of by Ms. Williams, we know that one of the things that the COM task has identified is that government needs a professional and consistent government communication system in which government communicators can be expected to provide the same kind of service at a professional level to everybody that they are required to. This is part of that, and what we are looking at with the baseline that we did have is that once upon a time we did have a partnership together with the University of Witwatersrand School of Public and Development Management. We have found that that course was not wide enough and broad enough to provide the kind of service that we are wanting to. Our outlook is that all government communicators must have a similar knowledge base they must have a similar understanding of what services they are required to provide, and that's where we're going to. On the second one, on the second issue, this is a new initiative. Although there are various measures that we do use as part of our research base to measure the impact of our work, what is new about this is that for the first time, we are going to put all of these together into one impact assessment report, and that basically is going to say to us at a macro level as well as at a micro level what is the impact of the work of GCIS, and hopefully it will make your work easier as well. This did come about as a discussion during the course of last year with the Oversight Committee in the National Assembly, wherein GCIS was asked, but how do you measure the impact of your work? And so this report, this new report that is going to be done 4 times a year, is going to be a comprehensive report that is going to tell us what is the impact of GCIS work. The next one is also a new initiative. It arises out of the fact that South Africa will reach 20 years of democracy in 2014, and as GCIS, or government's chief communications arm, our role is to provide for all of the communication and marketing aspects of the 20 years of the of democracy in South Africa. It is a finite project. We begin planning for it in 2012. We implement it during the course of 2013, 2014, review it in 2015, and in 2016, therefore, you see that there is no target there. The next output speaks to work that we do at the moment in the Chief Directorate Policy and Research. One of these is we provide the inputs towards the President's State of the Nation Address. So our research units, our three research units, from the media perspective, from public perception perspective, and from the perspective of what government departments have reported on, compile a report of departmental and provincial achievements and challenges and submit that to the presidency in order for them to prepare for the president's state of the nation. We also, on an ongoing basis, do a constant assessment of the media environment. These include fortnightly communication planning reports, where we do an assessment of the media environment every 2 weeks. We also do a daily report, which is used for government communicators to respond to the media with, and we do monthly cluster communication environment reports, which go to clusters of government, giving them an assessment of how the media has covered their issues in the last month. We also do a weekend analysis report. Included in this area of work is also services that we provide to the rest of government, including press clippings, broadcast summaries, and online media coverage reports, basically telling departments what has been covered in the media, including online media. A service that we've introduced recently is SMS alerts of breaking news. So when there is any kind of breaking news, key directors general, key policymakers, key communicators within government and within GCIS receive an SMS alert of breaking news that they may be required to respond to, including one that they get at 5:30 in the morning, every morning. The last area of this work is also on a monthly basis. This section provides the development of key messages and other communication content. For example, you may have seen honorable members in the New Age once a week on Monday. There is a column that is written by our CEO. The content of that column, the research for it, and the initial drafting of it is something that we are busy developing in this section. Thank you. Another area of our work is in the South African Yearbook. I'm sure honorable members have picked up a copy outside. It is an annual production that we do, very much valued by libraries and research institutes, both in South Africa and abroad. The number of copies that we produce annually is at 40,000, and this is the hard copy, but we also produce an online version, and this is available to anybody that is able to access the internet. In addition to the 40,000 copies of the yearbook, we also have 20,000 copies of the pocket guide to South Africa, and this is used both internally but also very much by government traveling abroad and wanting to hand out booklets about South Africa that is developed by South Africans. Recently, we've also become more active in the supporting the communication work around the national orders. We all know that the national orders given by the president to eminent persons in South Africa has been an area that has been undervalued in the past. In addition to the booklet and the video, we are also more and more taking a role in the marketing of the national orders, as well as the marketing of the eminent persons that are receiving the national orders, in so much as some kind of profiling of their personalities is concerned. My colleague has already spoken to this. This is the government newspaper that I'm sure honorable members are familiar with. We have increased the print run, increased its frequency, and now the paper that used to be produced every 2 months is now produced monthly, and 1.7 million copies of newspapers produced every month. In addition to that, there are 420 braille copies that are produced monthly, and the website edition is also updated every month for anybody that wants to access the newspaper electronically. On the public sector magazine, again, my colleague has spoken to this. The target market is public sector managers, so it gets sent to deputy director upwards across the public sector. And mainly the idea is to be able to provide a forum for public sector managers to be able to debate, engage, and familiarize themselves with policy issues within government. Linked to that is also the GovCom supplement, which goes with the Public Sector Manager magazine. And GovCom speaks specifically to government communications issues, where best practices are shared and campaign drivers are also shared. A new initiative that GCIS is also engaging with is marketing services for government. This ranges across event management, which we are starting to do. I think my colleague spoke to already the launch of the PSM magazine that is taking place this evening, mainly with private sector partners who have some or other interest in the magazine and watching it grow. Also in terms of branding and other marketing services for government. Part of this is also a specific area of work that takes place within our marketing communication service agency, and that is about the distribution of communication products. I'm sure members are aware that oftentimes we have beautiful products in government, but when you go down to your constituencies, your communities in, they will say to you, well, they never see government information. And this is a challenge that we have been more and more rising towards, but we are now putting it down as a challenge that we are going to build our capacity to deliver on. Another area of our work is corporate identity, also an area that my colleague has spoken to, where government must be able to recognize its branding, must be able to conform to its branding, and must be able to use it in a way that others are able to recognize it. Part of what we're doing is we are doing an audit some 10 years after the corporate identity of government was launched to see how government departments are actually applying the corporate identity of government, and this will give us an indication of what needs to be done. Linked to this, once we have results from the audit, We are hoping that we will run workshops with particularly those departments who are not quite familiar with how the corporate identity should be run, but with all government departments in general, to ensure that both internal and external stakeholders not only understand the corporate identity of government, but know how to apply it as well. This means that in GCIS, we need to run a quality control function. So where the corporate identity is not being applied professionally, where it's not being applied according to the rules, GCIS must be able to monitor it, and it must also be able to check it and correct it where it finds wrongdoing. And this is a quality control mechanism that we are bringing into our annual performance plan. The last issue for me, Chairperson, is on the issue of forums that we have been hosting and we hope to continue hosting. These forums are linked to issues that are in the Public Sector Manager magazine. We've hosted four already. The first one that we had was where the Minister of Health came to speak to public sector managers about the NHI, and that ended up being a four-hour discussion. It was meant to be 1.5 hours because public sector managers were so much engaging with the issues of the NHI. The second one was by the former Director General of Minerals and Energy, who spoke to us about the setting up of the civil service from 1994 right up till 2011 and some of the challenges inherent in that. The third one was the Minister of Environmental Affairs, who spoke to us about the issues that South Africa was taking to COP17, eventually run by the Director General there and the head negotiator. Again, that ended up being about a three-hour session. The fourth session was run by the Minister of Basic Education, was hosted, where we hosted the Minister of Basic Education, where she spoke to public sector managers about the challenges in the education system and how we as public servants could help the education department, mainly by arming ourselves with knowledge. So these are forums that we hope to continue having. We hope to also expand them so that they are held at provincial level, so that public servants across the board are able to arm themselves with knowledge. And that brings me to the end of my section.
Thanks, Tasneem. I'm responsible for the government and stakeholder engagement, and this branch is comprising of four chief directorates, one being the media engagement, the one that focuses in relationships with the media. The other one is the clusters. Earlier on, Pumla talked about one of the challenges is uncoordinated support to the department, and she indicated that we hired two chief directors, and then we have two chief directorates that actually ensures that we support the clusters. And then the fourth one is the provincial and local liaison, and where we're working directly with the provinces and the municipalities. Just briefly on this branch, 40% of the staff complement of GCIS resides in this branch. We've got all staff in the provinces, we have staff in the districts, and we also have staff in the municipalities. Our budget is actually 27% of the GCIS budget, and we have about 41 offices across the country. Just to indicate what it is that we are doing, our major purpose is to implement development communication through mediated and unmediated communication and some stakeholder relations and partnerships. One of our main strategic objectives is to maintain and strengthen a well-functioning communication system that proactively informs and engages the public. What we do here is that we use national, provincial, and district communication platforms and forums for better planning and coordination of government content. So we ensure that we streamline messages. For this year, we are going to continue to cascade government content to national and provincial as well as the district forums. The other thing that we're doing in terms of the clusters is to make sure that cluster communication strategies are aligned to the government communication system. Last year, the GCIS developed a 5-year government communication strategy, which was adopted by Cabinet in June. What we have done since then is to engage with the provinces, national government departments, as well as in the municipalities, sharing with them the concept and the national communication strategy, and it's something that we'll continue doing. And therefore, we continue to develop cluster communication strategies. And once the cluster communication strategies have been developed, aligned to the national communication strategy, then departments will develop their own department communication strategies. But we work with the provinces to develop the, once the state of the province address has taken place, we make sure that we align messages between national and provincial government. And once that has been done, as a department, we develop what we call the government communications program, which is going to anchor communications of all within government. The other output is the public participation. We make sure that public have access to government information through different platforms. The indicator here is going to be a number of communications campaigns through various platforms such as communications media, seminars, workshops, public participation programs, door-to-door, the Tucson Service Centers. For this financial year, we plan to have 2.4 communications campaigns. These are at the provincial level, and I actually have developed a breakdown of how many per province. The other thing that we are going to do is the Tucson Service Centers. Chairperson, GCIS...
Are we going to get that information of how many per province?
I actually, you know, today as we're sitting here, the provincial team, the chief director for the provincial and local liaison is actually not here because he's sitting with the team to work out the modalities and the actual numbers around each and every number of programs and outputs and projects that are going to be developed. I won't be able to give it to you today, ma'am, but as soon as we are done with that, I think we will gladly provide you with the information, because I think if you do, it will actually enable you to do a better oversight when you go to the provinces to know how many and the last, and to make the follow through. I don't have it for today, but definitely it's something that we are working on, because the strat plan has been developed and approved. Now we have to work on our own individual plans for the year. That's what we're doing. Okay. I was indicating that we have been, as GCIS, we've been responsible for running the Tucson Service Program for the past 13 years, since 1999. This has been one of the most interesting programs, but very challenging in the sense that we don't have the finance, we don't have the money for the Tucson Service Centers. And time and again, we've been very much in trouble in terms of failing to meet the target of establishing Tucson Service Centers. But what I can say with pride is that despite the fact that we didn't have the money to roll out and build the Tucson Centers, to date we do have more than about 170 Tucson Centers that are operational. What we have since done and engaged with the National Treasury is that let GCIS be responsible for what it is expected to do. And from now onwards, as a department, we are going to make sure that we upscale communications within the centers. We are going to promote the use of the centers. We are going to work on the branding of the centers so that we maximize communications around the centers, the services that are being rendered there, who are the service providers, the frequency of services and the like. So our focus is now going to be the number of reports and on marketing events per Tucson Service Centers. At the moment, our target is going to be 680 reports on the implementation of the annual marketing and communications plans per center. The other important output for us on public have access to government information through different platforms. We are going to, for this financial year, have 3.2 community and stakeholder liaison visits. This is through distribution, environmental assessments, communications, strategizing. And in this particular case, Chair, we work with the municipality structures. We have local municipalities, communicators, just even before I do that.
If you look at this slide, the baseline, we have 3,600 community stakeholder liaison visits, and the target is 3,280. You can see it's a declining target. The reason there is a decline is that over the years, most municipalities did not have communications units, and they didn't have communicators in the municipalities. But as part of what Pumla even said earlier on, that one of the challenges is to, because we have unevenness regarding communications. As part of the local government turnaround strategy, one of the anchor initiatives of the COCTAS local government turnaround strategy is around personnel. And one of the key personnel is the personnel for communications. So we've been able to lobby departments, I mean local government, working with SAGA and COCTA, that they establish communications units and that they have hired a communicator. Now that municipalities have got communicators, there is not necessarily a need for GCIS to have communicators at each and every local municipality. So the declining of these projects, the number of outputs is likely because we have actually scaled down on the number of communicators that we're going to have. Our ideal actually is to have at least a communicator per district at the district level. And what our communicators are going to be focusing on is to ensure that they make sure that we cascade, we continue to cascade the national communication system content, but also to ensure that when the national ministers go to a province, they provide that support, because national cannot necessarily be at the left at the mercy of the province or the municipality to make sure to we can't assume that they will be there to help push the agenda of national ministers. And as Pumla was saying, for instance, as part of the SONA, the scaling up of communications and sharing the SONA at the district levels, one of the things that our district officers are actually supporting the communications of the post-SONA initiatives of different ministers. 2 weeks ago, Minister Baloyi, Minister from COCTA, was at Limpopo, actually sharing with the stakeholders around the national communication, I mean the SONA. Last week, Friday, Minister Nkwinti was in KwaZulu-Natal, Amajuba, actually sharing with all stakeholders. It was the media, it was the farmers, it was even the local government, and it was the different stakeholders, traditional leadership, it was the NGOs, and taking the state of the nation address. What we believe in GCIS is a state of the nation address is not a one-night event, the 9th of February. State of the nation address is a year-long program. And that the president has made that pronouncement on that day, it's also critical and important that that gets cascaded and it's actually unpacked at district and local level. So that's what we're doing. So we will be supporting the ministers as we go down. So basically what our offices are going to be doing is to actually support at the local level, and they will be coordinating with the provinces and the districts. Other output is public have access to government information through different platforms. At the moment, one of the key critical things that we are doing is to make sure that we distribute government publications. These being the GCIS products, the public sector magazine, Vukuzenzele, but also we work with other government departments to make sure that we distribute their own products. I mean, last year during the COP17, our provincial offices and our districts were actually able to take those products and distribute them. If there is something, an outbreak, cholera, it doesn't matter. Any departments, any products that are coming from the different departments, know your service rights from the Department of Public Service and Administration. Our officials are actually distributing those materials at the local level. So our target for this year is to make sure that we distribute 1 million communication products and different products from different departments. The other output is we develop and entrench a strong partnership with key stakeholders as our branch is government and stakeholder engagement. This target, for this financial year, Chairperson, we actually want to focus on 10 stakeholder
engagements and key stakeholders. And this target is largely not for national, I mean not for the provinces, but for the national. What we want to do, we want to start working with national NGOs, forums, national media, and then what we would then do is once we have agreed on the nature of the relationship, then whatever is going to be done is going to be cascaded at the district and at the provincial level. We have 10 stakeholders, and our ideal is to actually have two per each of the 5 key priority areas. Another output is effectively communicate cabinet decisions. What we intend doing here, Chairperson, is there are 16 cabinet media briefings on cabinet decisions when cabinet is in session. But what we have as a target is to have 50 briefings and statements. And this includes the cabinet briefings, but even special cabinet, but also further elaboration, briefings on further elaborations on the cabinet decisions. And also, our output is to effectively manage communications implications arising from media reports or the rapid response. And we also have a unit, the rapid response unit, that is able to identify some of the key critical issues that are happening in the environment. Just as an example, remember in the beginning of the year at the UJ, when there was the stampede, and remember the mother died. It was not picked up. You know, there was so much noise in the media around that thing having happened, and there was no voice from government. But what the rapid response unit did, immediately when they picked the story, they actually alerted the Department of Higher Education, and we were able to coordinate a media briefing, and the minister was actually immediately up there and addressing the thing to make sure that the government voice is actually heard. And then we also have regular media engagements, and these are, we want to make sure that we increase the engagement with the media. The two cluster supervisors that are here, one of the key responsibilities also is to support the ministers in each of the clusters with the cluster communication and the cluster media briefings. And we actually had successful media briefings immediately after the State of the Nation address, where each and every cluster, different cluster ministers were actually able to articulate what are the cluster responsibilities and the cluster priorities in terms of successes, but also moving forward in terms of how do the clusters are going to continue and taking the State of the Nation address. Yeah, I think that was the last from me.
Thanks, Nebu. The last program, Chairperson, is going to be taken over again by Tasneem. So it's over to you, Tasneem.
Thank you, Kula. As my colleague mentioned, this is an area, a new area of our work, where it was done before, but as part of one branch, it's going to be a separate branch now. One of the main areas of, or one of the main functions of this new branch is about being able to buy bulk media space on behalf of other government departments and including GCIS, in which we are able to make use of discounts, massive discounts, and also ensure a kind of a consistency of government information in the media. The output would be media buying services provided for government. I think it has been said before that we used to do this, but we're doing it, the difference is that we're doing it in-house now. It is a function that we're managing in-house, and it is also something that is going to be elevated for the value that it will bring to government as a whole. Another area of our work is that people may know that we have photographers, we have videographers, and we have all sorts of other communication-related personnel within the GCIS. Our photographs, as my colleague said, if you look out in the newspapers, you will see more and more that media, given their own budgetary limitations and so on, are more and more relying on the photographs sent to them by GCIS. On the videography, our videographers go out with the president and with the deputy president, accompanying them on many of their formal functions and taking videos of those events. We are in the process of digitizing all of those video clippings so that they become a matter of record for government. And as you can see, the baseline is we've already got 3,000 hours digitized, and we hope in the future to be able to keep that as a yearly target. A new area of this branch's work will be the ability to broadcast via satellite. Honorable members will know that, you know, one of the issues that bugs everyone within government and even within the legislature is how do we ensure that given the huge differences of people in our country, how do we make sure that we are able to access or ensure that everyone is able to access government information. One of the areas that GCIS pays particular attention to is community radio station and empowering community radio stations. In addition to that, we also want to be able to develop the capacity to broadcast all sorts of programs and information via satellite. And this output speaks to our intention to do that. One other area, and I think the other two are repeats, is product development services provided for government. So here we are speaking about products that are developed for particular departments, for particular clusters, for particular projects. In fact, if you look outside, I'm sure you've picked up, there's been a booklet that has been produced in which the achievements of government over the last year have been put together into a particular booklet. Photo albums, for example, of particular events. You know, the State of the Nation address, there was a supplement in the Sunday papers following the Thursday of the State of the Nation address. That supplement was done by the GCIS, wherein it was a photo library, if you like, or photo collage of the State of the Nation event. And they are also, it's also content heavy. It's not just photographs and flashy stuff, but also content heavy. So these are the kind of areas that we are looking to develop in this new branch. I think the last two items are just a repeat of what was there before.
Is just the figures of GCIS. In the MTF period 2012 to 2015, you'll note that our budget is 429 million in year one and going down to 417 in the outer year. I think if I just could highlight something here, I think we have an increase of 17.8, which is far less than what we had requested. We had requested an increase of 28.7% in our baseline, but unfortunately we couldn't get all that. In fact, in that 17.8% increment is mainly for a once-off building, for the infrastructure for the new premises and the inflation adjustments for the salaries. If you then unpack the budget per program, I think this is program one. I think the figures that I would just highlight there is the biggest figure is the 13.3 million, which is mainly our IT infrastructure. The other figure that I could mention there is 36.8 million for the 41 buildings that Nebo made reference to, which stretches to our provincial offices and our satellite offices in the districts. The 55.7 million in the main is the 50 million that we had received from National Treasury for our new premises. Program 2, the budget is 109, and the figure that I can just highlight there, Chairperson, is the 9.1 million is mainly for our research that Tasneem made reference to, which is a reference research that informs the products that we produce. The other big figure there is the 47.9 million, which is mainly the products that we produce. And I think the personnel is also self-explanatory. Program 3, the figures that I would like to highlight there is the 19.5 million, which is the operational budget for our foot soldiers in the districts, in the main and in the provincial offices. The 20 million is the transfer. It's almost like it's not our money. It's a transfer to the MDDA. And I think the one figure that I can highlight today is the 64.7 million, which is the personnel budget, which is bigger than all the other programs in the main because of our communication officers that are in the districts. And that concludes. The program four is the budget, which is in the main, 32.6 million, which is the branch, which we were hoping that National Treasurer was going to give us additional money. So we probably are going to continue with the budget that we currently have. Lastly, Chairperson, it's just a slide on the update on our new premises, that it's there, it's happening. We anticipate moving into those new premises in May 2013. National Treasury for this current year, they've given us the 50 million, which is mainly going to be for the infrastructure. And the last picture there is how it's going to look, which we are all looking forward to, the new premises with the updates and everything. And that concludes, Chairperson, our presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the presentation. More important is that you work with provinces and you work with municipalities. And I think this meeting is long overdue because definitely we really need to work together as members of the Select Committee on Labour and Public Enterprises because we represent provinces. So I think that's why we said today, dark or blue, we must meet so that when we go to our constituencies, we have this information and we see for ourselves what you mean when you present it to us. Members, I'll give this opportunity to you, Honorable Sibande, Honorable Mabija, Honorable Mlenzana, then Honorable Jacob Alkamla. Honorable Sibande.
Thank you, Chairperson. Also, I'd like to thank the communication colleagues for this wonderful presentation. But also, before I start talking, maybe who Chairperson gave you the footnotes, because our concern is one, the issue of gender. I was very sensitive about it. I think I saw her whispering with you, Pumla, that maybe they were addressing it, because we are very concerned. Some of the departments, they don't follow what is supposed to happen in terms of the gender issue. And also...
I think the CEO, remember the CEO was the DG for labor, so I think that he knows.
No, thanks, ma'am. But nevertheless, I wanted to start, but allow me, ma'am, I've got a lot of questions in order to keep it going. To what extent is the agency working with the provincial and local governments in ensuring that community media agenda is incorporated in different provincial targets in an integrated development plan of municipalities as part of the drive to have at least one community media project in every district municipalities? And then secondly, which I wanted to find out, is that which is worrying me, madam. During in her presentation, you raised the issue that they are assisted by agencies. So no, my worry is that most of the departments, they are outsourcing their responsibilities to the agencies. And while sometimes it makes it very difficult, is it because you don't have capacity? Or what is it exactly? And then second question, the third one is that there are five remaining provinces, namely Free State, Mpumalanga, Northwest, Northern Cape and Limpopo, each without a community television. How will the agency ensure fair disinvestment of funding
to communities in these provinces without compromising the set criteria. Is there an effort from the agency to help communities in these areas? I'll put another example. Where's part of it? We are having a guiding document, which is the Freedom Charter, which says the doors, the doors of education and learning should be open. I don't know what is your relationship with the traditional leaders in terms of stakeholders, because the traditional leaders are very important in terms of promoting our languages. I think we are still facing another challenge as well. And then again, I've got another problem which is I can't understand. Mrs. Pumla was saying, commented about defending the image of the government that they are doing something. I will put example. In the rural, I'm a rural boy, of course. I'm from Bethlehem, Zambanin. You know, what is worrying me is that why the former homelands were more visible, I mean, in terms of the government, whatever, from the government, were more visible than the present government. Where is the problem? What is happening? Because I thought that as you have given us your project, I mean, your projection of between now and 2017, you are going to do something as pilot project in order to correct that situation. And then also, what is worrying, ma'am? You know, in terms of broadcasting, please help us. I'm raising this thing time and again. I'll raise it even tomorrow. If you are in Mpumalanga, it depends where you are. The radio broadcasting is still the same like in the old apartheid system. If you are in Mpumalanga, you are able to access Igwala Gwala only. And also maybe Mgalonene part, because it's bush coverage is very close. But you can't access Ukhozi. You can't access some of the radio stations. It's worse if we are going to Nkomazi, towards the border of Mozambique, where they are inside South Africa, but they are very difficult to access Igwala Gwala. They are entitled to listen to radio station of Mozambique. Why is it happening? Why, on the other hand, if you open SAFM and Radio Sonar France, you get it everywhere. Where is the problem? And then another one, which they can assist us, in terms of, you know, there is a thing which is worrying me. Some of our elderly people, even myself, I'm going there. There was a thing which you have done during, which was happening during the 2010 soccer tournament, the broadcasting simulcast. Why is it not happening anymore? Because in some of the areas, when they open TV, it's crisis.
Okay.
They prefer to open radio, maybe to assist them in terms of to make their project. Mom, you're saying something?
I think now you are going to assist.
No. Okay. Last one.
Okay.
I'll leave it to there because I know that no matter I'm going there, but who's responsible for this? Because you are part of the driving forces in terms of 1, 2, 3. And then again, what is your staff morale? Because this is another contributing factor which is affecting most of the line function. I'll leave it there. I'll come again.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let's check on page 7, where we have situational analysis. I see there are 6 challenges stipulated there. What I'd like to know, in fact, let me say this, that it's for the first time for me to meet with yourself, this department. So I'm not even certain which challenges did you have during the previous threat plan. So I'm not even certain right now whether there are some brought forward challenges from the previous year's threat plan, or this is new. If this is new, does it mean that all the previous threat plan challenges responses have been implemented now? Or if they are mixed here, can you just clarify me? I don't clearly understand, and I can not gauge whether you are working efficiently or not, because this is our first meeting. I'm saying this because as politicians, we come in, we go, some come, and maybe we receive same stuff all the time. So I need you to put me on a clear level. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. When you are almost towards the end, you begin to scale down some of the questions because you are somehow covered, whilst at the same time you cross fingers that some should just wait for you so that you pose them the manner in which you would like to. For instance, there was this one which was not even drafted, but action within the house prompted me that I pushed it up there as to how is a GCIS relations with the media. How is the relationship? I'm honest, Chair. I didn't have that question, but watching what happened, I felt I should put it on top. It's like now, 0.0, it's not 0.1. Chairperson, I've tried to link slides, which I am not sure if they do link, but GCIS will assist me. Slide 33, 23, and slide 4. But with slide 33, it was more of a verbal utterance. They just mention of your community radio stations, but there's nothing documented. But I just noted. And slide 23 would talk of a media distribution thing. Yeah, distribution of a produced product. Then slide 4 is that one where the chairperson said you need not talk more. For MDDA. And now I'm bringing you back. Because my question is how do you as GCIS involve MDDA in the rolling out of government communication to reach the majority of the population? And I'm raising this, Chair, with that understanding that if you look at especially the disadvantaged communities, they would then rely on the use of community media. I don't want to get into the legislation imperatives attached to that. The second one, though not explicitly mentioned, Chair, but listening to the content, it is somehow touched. What one would like to know the progress that GCIS is making in terms of implementation of service delivery improvement plan. I'm saying, Chair, it is just the term which is not there, but in terms of content, listening, it is there. This one, Chair, would be a normal question asked when one is receiving a strat plan report. If GCIS could just talk more to us on the vacancy rate. How is your vacancy rate? Are you satisfied? If not, going towards 2017, what is it that you, you think you would be doing to address that particular challenge, if there is any? Because and Lord, don't want to throw bones. Ngesixhosa kuthi uphosa amathambo uxilonge ngoku andifuni ukuphosa amathambo, don't just want to throw bones and say perhaps if then you could prefer them. Last two, Chair. One is on the two song service center. One then would be, you know, there's a passion, Japan, because we're there. Rural boy, as Honorable Spanda was saying, one would like to know, when you are talking of this, do you know this service center? When you are talking of Unopoi in Mount Frere, Alfred Nzo district, do you know? Do you know whether it is a white elephant as we speak now, or what, who is there as we speak now? What services, if there are any, are there? So if also we appreciate that you are saying there is some work that you have to do, but if we could be, it's a pity this report Chair. Yes, it somehow mentions provinces, but doesn't talk to detail in terms of what the GCIS is doing in provinces, with due respect. And we are representing provinces, unlike in the National Assembly, where they talk politics. We don't talk politics here, we talk service delivery on the ground. Provinces where things are happening. And lastly, on the communication officers. I appreciate, Chair, the scaling down. I appreciate avoiding duplication. That you don't need to have your GCIS and your so-called municipal communicators. That would be unnecessary competition. But now, Chair, you would know, Chairperson, the challenge that we always face in terms of the powers and functions as per the constitutional imperative. That now, if GCIS scales down and say we would be fine with one communicator at the district municipality level, and then local municipalities would have this because we have trust. A word which does not exist in the dictionary of government, any government. So now, how do you then charge? How do you then enforce? How do you then see to it that these local municipalities actually do have these communicators? And even if they do have, you would get reports that some departments do not want to attend IDP meetings and what have you, because they feel an element of independence. With you guys now, how would you then force those local municipal communicators to somehow account or feedback or do whatever to you at this level? Because they're living human beings. They would be saying, no. I know where to account. I've got a municipal manager who employed me. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Thanks, Chair. It is a disadvantage to be the last speaker. I'll adopt one of Romlanzan's tactics. to put the same question the other way around. Chair, on the issue of offices in the province, in the district, and so on, we would like to know exactly where are they. It's not a question of saying I should know, because if I go for constituency office, I need to meet that person. I need to see his office. But as it is, the way you have presented it, you have not given us details, just on the surface. And also, on the issue of distribution, where are these pamphlets distributed? It leads me to another question. What is your audience? Which audience are you targeting for this, for distribution? And it leads me to another question. When I look at your organogram, I was very much interested to see whether do you have somebody who deals with translation. Because if you say, let me take for granted, you are saying you want this information to reach ordinary people on the ground. They have to be in their own language. But as it is, all these have been written in English. So it is not your target. People on the ground, they are not your target. It's a question that we have been anglicized, even where we are. As blacks, instead of speaking our own language, we only speak English. So we are not thinking of those people on the ground who don't know English, who have to read this in their own language. So if I can be clarified on that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable Jacobs, I think you've read my mind, because I've got here, I've noted the provincial offices, district, the location. You know, if we can get the location, the list, if it's Connor, Temba, and Jacobs, we want that. And we want to know the contact people. We're going on constituencies, if I'm not mistaken. We need that information as soon as possible. And also, you know, if you can tell us that the provinces also, your GCIS in the provinces, they do what you are doing here with the department on the achievements and plans for SOPA. You must tell us whether they really do the same as you are doing. The other one from me is, if you can just tell us what are you doing practically to get your publications into the constituency offices. You are welcome, CEO. We did receive your apology, and we are now on questions. We have had the presentation. We are now on discussions, questions, and questions. The other one from me, if you can tell us, when will the corporate identity audit be completed? And who is conducting this audit? The last one, you stated that bulk media buying has not shown the savings that you would like. Can you elaborate on this? That's from us for now. We will come back if members have more. Can you respond? Thank you. Before you respond, CEO, I thought, knowing that you can sit off, please. Okay. Knowing that you are coming to the Select Committee on Labor and Public Enterprises, you also prepare the provincial breakdown, because you know that this committee also, most of the time, we want to have that information of provinces at hand.
Thanks, Chairperson. I think we will share the questions amongst ourselves. But I think once the few, I think Tasneem is going to deal with the MDDA and the community radio stations. Nebu will deal with the provincial office-related questions. But I'll just try and touch on the few questions. I think there is a question from the Honourable Member on the challenges. What have been the challenges previously and what are the challenges now? I think, Chairperson, a lot of our challenges hinges on resources in the main. They may differ as we get a little bit more money. I think when we were developing the communication strategy, if I can just take you on board, we did a few studies in the different countries of how much is the baseline of a government communications budget. And when we were comparing it to what we have, we almost like it's a drop in the ocean. So what we have is a budget that is actually not in sync with what we would like to do. And I think it touches on the question that was raised by the Honourable Member to say, why are we not feeling the effects in some of the provinces? I think we try and do what we can with the little resources that we are given. For instance, the client relation challenges, we've always had them. But part of the crisis is that we didn't have the resources to employ. But finally, we actually were able to be given the budget. Ideally, our request to National Treasurer was to have 5 dedicated chief directors who will deal with each cluster in terms of servicing it. But this, we only managed to get 2. So what we try and do is to almost like move with what we have. So the challenges might have been there. For instance, the question of space. We've always had the space problem, but I think it was a question of getting the funding from National Treasury. So I think in that respect, Chairperson, I think there is some similarities with the previous challenges that we had raised. Then there was another question that was raised around the staff morale. Chairperson, from where we sit, we think that we have a very committed audience in terms of the staff. I think our staff is very energetic, they are determined. I think some of the products that you see, they work under extreme conditions, but I think they deliver. But what we're trying to do so that we are not complacent, in this new financial year, we are going to be doing at Lions, climate study, that's the word I was looking for, climate study. We always, from time to time, do a climate study so that we don't become complacent and think that everything is fine. We last did our a climate study in 2008. We are doing another one in this year so that we constantly assess the morale of the staff. And I think our view is that the staff its morale is actually in a good condition for now. I think there was a question also on the vacancy rate. Chairperson, if I could say that one of our standards in GCIS is that a post doesn't become vacant for longer than 2 months. And I think our vacancy rate is almost less than 2%. Kitu can confirm that it's less than 2% because there is a standard that we actually adhere to at all times. The moment the resignation is in, we make sure that an advert is in place and we advertise as soon as we possibly can. I think some of the questions are going to be addressed by Nebu and Tasneem, and I think I am going to be also deploying my CEO, who has just come in, who's going to deal with the GCIS relationship with the media. And then the others, I think Tasneem is going to tackle them. So thank you, Chair.
Okay. Thanks. Just to say, we know the questions about the GCIS office. In the document itself, in the start plan, we had actually given the details of the provincial offices, and the we do have the both physical and the postal addresses, the provincial. But I think we will give the members the fiscal offices of all the other 41 offices. We'll do that. The question of the
the relationship with the provincial offices. Just to indicate to the members, at the local at the provincial level, we have four. We call it the core team in terms of communications. The core team comprises of the offices of the premier, the head of communications, the SALGA in the province, the GCIS in the province, and COCTA in the province. And these four members are coordinating communications in the provinces. And they actually coordinate communications provincial, district, and local. So they also have a provincial head of communications forum. We do have district communicators forum. We have local communicators forum. So their communications is planned and it's streamlined. The questions about scaling down of GCIS offices, assuming that the provinces and the municipalities, especially municipalities, will actually pick it up. It's one of the things that is an agreement. The local government turnaround strategy, one of the key strategic objectives is to ensure that they capacitate the municipalities with regards to communications. We do know one of the biggest problems that we have had, even prior to the elections, that we had had some the unrest, and that most people were are complaining about service delivery, not because there is no service delivery, because there is no communications about service delivery. Yes. And municipalities, we have made them aware of that, that unless they see communication as a strategic function and a strategic function, we are going to continue having those problems. One of the things that we have done, and we are continuing doing that, we did that with the research also, is to also do an audit of communications capacity at the municipality level. Earlier on, Pumla mentioned that we do have a training unit, and the training unit is actually providing training not only to the national, but to national, provincial, and local. So we are supporting them. One of the things that we have done, as an achievement, for instance, in the last financial year, is that after the local government elections, new councillors were sworn in, our communicators and the GCIS head office were actually trained the local councillors in communications. And the one thing that we actually pride ourselves with is that the focus in this particular case was also in communications, but also maximizing the use of community media. So over the last year, there has been an increased scale-up induction for local principals with emphasis of the use of community media. So that's one of the things that we have been doing. The question about the products distributed, we do use the constituency offices as our distribution points. They are in our database of distribution points. But also, our communications officers work closely with the constituency offices. We work closely with the CDWs. We work closely with the local ward councillors. But more importantly, we work closely with traditional leadership. We do, as a matter of course. Most of the time, all the time, when we initiate projects and the like, we plan, and we plan with the structures of local, of the traditional leaders. And the other thing about the language breakdown, the honorable member, Jacobs, was actually talking about the translations unit. At the GCIS head office, we do have a translation unit, but the way we do it, because we, in the provinces, we know and understand our areas, we know and understand the languages, we are the ones that are telling them the language breakdown. So the language breakdown is not from head office to the province, to the local. It's actually from the local. They will say in KwaZulu-Natal, for instance, X number of English, X number of Africans, X number of Zulu, X number of Sotho, X number of... They are, is the provinces that give us the numbers that we need to produce for head office to produce for them. So it's bottom up, actually, in terms of that. Do we work with the provinces regarding the sales of the province address? Yes, we do. We drive the SONA ourselves. But even the last week of the SOPA, our provincial offices were planning together with the offices of the premier. Again, the core teams, COCTA, SALGA, Office of the Premier, and GCIS. Because you see, SOPA and SONA are part of the core communications program, so they drive the whole communications program together. Yes, the simple answer is yes, we work with them. We are going towards that. In June, we will be going through the local state of the municipalities addresses. Our team will work with them in terms of popularizing the municipal, the state of the municipal addresses. The question of the Tucson service centers, do you know these Tucson? Do you know where they are? Yes, we do know where they are. But also, how do we manage and how do we monitor how, whether they're working or not? Every month, the provincial offices and the district offices are giving us statistics of services at each and every center. We do have some challenges in terms of gathering most of the reports to a very large extent, because departments will say to us, just as an example, Department of, let me say, Labor, can actually will say, we don't necessarily report to GCIS that we can give GCIS statistics around what is happening at the particular center. But we have a very good working relationship with the center managers. So the center managers will collate information and the statistics of everything that happened in the center, and they'll give it to us. We still are experiencing challenges with that, and we have, as a GCIS, we have developed a system called Ward Management Information System, the ward, where our officials are able to generate information and give it to us. And one of the decisions that we took this year was that we are going to make this system accessible to the center managers so that they can be able to feed, to give us that information. There are challenges, I must say, with the Tucson. Some of the challenges have to do with poor service delivery, in the sense that the last time we actually had people saying departments do not come at the days at which they indicated they should, or even the times in which they're supposed to be coming. And remember, at the provinces, we do have a structure called Provincial Intersectoral Steering Committee that is coordinating the Tucson. And to a very large extent, these are run by the offices of the Premier. So those structures are the ones that are dealing with day-to-day issues and challenges at the centers. But we do get monthly reports regarding the Tucson service centers. The issues of the issues of the MDD, I know that Tasnim will talk to that. But just to indicate, one, the strategic plan of the MDDA, and yes, you indicated they will come and present, but they will indicate to you that their intention is to actually establish a community radio station per district municipality. That is what they want to do. And we as GCIS work closely with them. To a very large extent, we even help them with the information. Every second week after the cabinet, all the cabinet statements that are coming out, we actually provide them to MDDA so that they are able to feed them to the community radio stations. When a community wants to establish a community radio station, sometimes they do come to us and we will assist and facilitate that they go to MDDA to actually apply for funding. And the other thing is the question about use of the budget, use of the making sure that they support the use of community media. In January, the CEO and I were in Free State addressing the provincial DGs, and one of the things that we indicated to them was the importance of making sure that a percentage of the provincial budget goes into the community media. So there is that intention, and as GCIS, we have started working towards that, and we have actually sort of conscientized the provinces around that. I'm sure I have,
I want to repeat the comments that my colleague, Ms. Lehuave, made around the MDDA. Try and answer the question that Honorable Member Sibande asked us about agencies and why do we outsource to agencies, agencies. Just to clarify the one thing that you may not be all that familiar with is that the MDDA was specifically set up to explore the lack of diversity of media in South Africa. And so the way we like to look at it is that if they are responsible for the hardware, then we are responsible for the software. So as my colleague said,
The MDDA's goal is to try and set up a community radio station in every district. Our goal is to provide content and to provide advertising where possible. And to that extent, if I may just move on, Honourable Member, to talking about that, because it also tries to answer the questions that Honourable Member Nenzana was asking about distribution, is that we regard community radio stations together with radio as a medium in general to be the primary way in which we want to communicate with people, because it is the medium that most reaches most South Africans across the board, everywhere. So we support community radio stations both in terms of content. One of the ways in which we do it, for example, is that after the State of the Nation address, in the week following the State of the Nation address, there was a series of briefings by ministers that were head of, or at least clusters, heads of clusters. And in the generally in the evening of that briefing, or we were trying to schedule it on every Thursday, we were doing a broadcast to some 62 community radio stations across the country at once in a multilingual way, so that minister was engaging in a program called Talk to Your Minister through the GCIS facilities, talking to listeners across these community radio station platforms. We do that very often. It's been something we've been doing for years. Of course, we want to increase it. You know, given a budget, the more budget we have, the more we can increase it. But that's only one aspect. The other aspect is to continuously provide content to community radio stations so that our people have access to information all the time. Does that link to distribution? Absolutely. Because one of the areas that our distribution directorate needs to examine is what is the best way of getting information to the people that need it. And if it means that mobile cell phone technology is the best way to get that information there, or mobile is used to drive people towards print because the information is too content heavy, we will use it. If it means radio, if it means TV, and we do research all the time. We conduct our own research, and we also get all of the latest research from companies that do research on the best mediums to get out to information to people. So we give advice on to other departments as well as for our own products on what is the best way on getting that information out. And radio and community radio station are an essential part of that distribution network. So that's one of the questions. The other question that Honourable Member Jacobs was asking about was about the corporate identity audit. It's on our plan to be completed. We are doing it in GCIS together with the service providers that helped us to implement the corporate identity. We are hoping that the audit will be completed in 2012-13. At least partly completed, so as to start implementing its recommendations. Also from Honourable Member Jacobs was the issue about bulk media buying. The issue is the more government departments we have on board, the greater the savings we will be able to achieve. So the more people that are using our services, the higher the economies of scale we can achieve. That's the one area. But the other area is that as government, we cannot be having a situation where one department is placing an advert in a newspaper sitting right next to an advert from another government department. There's only one way to achieve this, and that is the department that is responsible for coordination of communication must take that responsibility forward, and that is us. So part of what we are wanting to achieve is greater financial savings, but also we want to be able to achieve savings in making sure that we use the most effective mechanisms for getting government information across.
Before I give it to the CEO with the last question, I think there are two questions that were not clarified. I think one of the questions the member asked is, are we actually outsourcing? And I think we would like to assure the members that one of the reasons GCIS budget, personnel budget, is 52% of that, is that bulk of the work that we do it in-house. The products that we produce there, we do them in-house. We do the designing, we do the writing, we just go out and print. In terms of the videos, we produce our own videos. Some of the adverts that you see in the papers of government, GCIS actually does a lot of production work on behalf of the department. The same applies to photography. So, in short, Chairperson, I think we do as little as possible in terms of outsourcing. We do most of the work in-house. The second question that was asked around our progress in service delivery plan, GCIS has attended. I think what is happening is that DPSA has designed the template, which was problematic in terms of service delivery departments like ourselves, National Treasury, Presidency. They ran a workshop. I think they are in the process of redesigning that service delivery work plan. I think we are even in the process of revising ours in line with how they are structuring the service delivery departments like ourselves and DPSA. So I think those were the two questions, and it's over to you, CEO.
Thank you. Thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members as well. Just to once again convey the apology for arriving late, coming from the Cabinet Committee meetings, which started at 8:30 this morning, no lunch all the way until now. So really apologize. But I want to assure members that when Cabinet next week ratifies a lot of those decisions, I think we'll be very proud that it's been worth it. Yeah. The question that we have is the relationship between GCIS and media. I don't understand the context of the question, so I'll answer it in full. Firstly, from a structural relationship, GCIS provides content, and media is supposed to report on that content. That's a structural relationship. But as to how has the relationship going forward at another level in terms of making sure that we deal with each other professionally and all of that, I must say there's been a great improvement in these relationships. I think, Honorable Chair, starting from last year already in October, after the meeting that we had with the media houses, as it were, SANEF and all of them, one word which I think even SANEF used to characterize the meeting was that it was the best meeting ever, as it were. So that has really set the tone. And I mean, if you look also, Chairperson, I mean, last 2 weeks ago, just as an example, Mail and Guardian had some disparaging headlines that they had made. And later, without even us talking to them directly about those disparaging headlines, they were the first to apologize for those irresponsible headlines. So, and also, Honorable Chair, I think also in terms of coverage, if one looks at the amount of coverage that we are getting, I think it is improving, as it were. So I really think that the relationship is really much, much, much improved, and it's work in progress, but there's not much we can complain about, so to speak, but yeah, it is improving. And then, Chair, on the other questions, I think all the colleagues have already spoken to all of them, but we do take the point in terms of customizing our presentations to be able to have a much more provincial bias. We take that and maybe in the next opportunity to talk to the committee, there will be a specific presentation that is going to do both to talk nationally, but at the same time have some kind of a provincial focus. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. I think the member who asked the relationship between yourselves and the media, he's gone out, but I think it's the manner, the media was full here, and then they left. Maybe that's why he asked that question. But I'm not speaking for him, but the media was here. So we understand the support that they are giving, GCIS. No, that's a PMG. And then the other thing also, CEO, your campaigns in provinces, if you, we can have that communication between yourself and this committee so that we actually get information of what is happening in provinces at local level, at district level, so that as members of the National Council of Provinces, we also go there, you know, support you and see for ourselves what the GCIS is doing. For example, even in the constituency, if indications, information can go directly to constituency offices, we will actually appreciate that. Honorable Mlenzana, okay, Honorable Jacobs, and then Honorable Mlenzana, then Honorable Siband. Honorable Mlenzana, I want you to elaborate on the your question on the relationship with GCIS with the media. Honorable Jacobs.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, as well as the GCIS has said, Iraqi Fika constituency, Aga, Man, Ritz, Kilegetola, Kruandaya, Vuguzen, Sede, Ibu Simon, Irishaki, everybody. Pele ba ba ezantweno ke tla re hae ha ba so sebetsa
re tswana ha ke tlhalosa ba re tla re ke dipitse ra bona ka mebala because yes you are saying you are working with constituency is sending information but you are talking to the people who are working in those constituencies. The honorable member is saying that honorable
Ned. Chairperson. Oh.
Do you want to say something?
Chairperson. I was saying this is question number zero because it was not part of my question originally. That's how I started it. And I was saying the basic reason for asking this question is what I noticed. And then aroused my interest into beginning to understand what is your relationship with the media. Maybe perhaps, Chair, I can elaborate a little. When we were introducing ourselves here, I'm sure we've all noticed, we took notes as to who was here. But immediately we started and the agenda couldn't begin to portray that there was anything which could be negative in this particular meeting. They all left. And one would honestly want to know, Chair, when you have a section of government like GCIS, which normally deals with communication, then media would automatically be interested. We are not only dealing with GCIS, we deal with SABC and all, and the very media would be here and would remain. Would even cover the type of a meeting. But today, whatever reason, that's why I had an interest. So that we are told. It's useless that we are not told, Jefferson, and we pick these issues from, you know, the streets and wherever we are. Because we've got a responsibility to go out there and explain to our community.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. But I'll start by commenting that I'm happy on what I wanted to raise there. You were saying that it fell the parameters of the SABC, but the department was able to understand me. They responded. Because what is very much important is this, how do you take, you can see in your challenges, which is very, very clear, number one, participate
participation on government is one of your challenges, performance and five priorities, communicate whatever. To communicate more, you need more of these things to the station to be open so that you can take your voices up across. I think I was in order, not out of order. Secondly, Chairperson, I'll be very much grateful if they can unpack or clarify in one of the challenges which is I'm concerned in slide number 7, this one, number 4, when they were speaking about uneven skills in communication, the other side in response is to say credit bearing qualification. You know why it's worrying me? Do you remember our historical background where we are coming from, the issue of the advantages and disadvantaged people, whereby there were a lot of demand in terms of our people, in terms of integration. Therefore, if they can clarify us so that it can empower us, whereby if there are still challenges, it's our responsibility to amend whatever is there in order to make them to be able to function or to perform their responsibilities. That is my outcry, number one. And number two, this one, but as a bad course, you used to say. You see, I'll be very much grateful, you know, in terms of your financial, that the distribution or redistribution of your funds in terms of the provinces. Because my worry, I'll be very much grateful if you can money in writing, send it to us so that you can understand exactly. You know what is my worry? Is that most of the time, most of the people they are still making a mistake. Most of the equipped provinces, they give them more funds rather than the provinces who are still without community radio TV, they are still limping in terms of the radio station, as I was indicating. That sometimes is very frustrating. People wanted to hear any input in particular from the presidential address, you know, so that we can be in a position to listen on what is said by the president. There, F. Dwatwin, there, Mbuzin, there, it's better, Wangshang, but if you go to Noganing, we must be able to catch you. So maybe if you can maybe clarify me on those issues. Thank you very much, ma'am.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to say something that is mind-boggling that which happened in this meeting. We were having some guys at that corner, and after 5 to 10 minutes, they took their things and left. Does it mean that this meeting is not newsworthy, or this meeting was not meeting their needs because Jimmy Money, who they always chop in the newspaper, was not here? So for them to pick up on something tomorrow and we see Jimmy Money, so this. Precisely, you know, I lack understanding of the gist of the meeting that bored the journalists. Can I be assisted? Or maybe the presentation was up to scratch to an extent that they didn't have anything that is newsworthy. And if that is the case, then I'm saying it means that the GCIS is doing well. Thank you.
Just follow up question on this, Chair. We are not politicking around this matter and not politicizing CCIS. This has to be, you know, covered correctly. My follow up question would be, how and who responds when tomorrow the media says Jimmy Mani did not honor this meeting? Because they might be covering that. As it stands now, that he was supposed to be in this particular meeting and did not honor for whatever reason and prioritized other things.
The other one, I want to add to what Honorable Sibanda was saying earlier on the covering, to say FGCIS, because now he is in order. You talk to ICASA also to make sure that they cover the areas, the most rural areas where we can't hear, receive any information, that areas are covered. Can respond.
Okay, thank you, Chair. I think, okay, firstly, we take once again the point of making sure that we liaise much more with the committee in terms of relationship between what we do in the provinces and the work that this committee is doing in the provinces. So once again, we take that point, we'll improve in terms of that. And then as to why media left, I haven't got the context of really what happened in that situation, Chair, but I think sometimes if I just listen to the discussions here and so on, and I know that they are aware of this presentation as it were, because we did present to the committee on Portfolio Committee on Communication, and the key issue is, like the Honourable Member has been putting there, is that there are no scandals in this presentation. This presentation is clear. This presentation shows a sense of purpose. This presentation is very, very ready. It's a transparent presentation. Even in the last meeting, I would have expected them to say something because they did attend that one. And they said absolutely nothing. It was like we did not come and present at the Portfolio Committee for Communication. So them going away is just a confirmation that even after that meeting, they haven't been able to find anything that is wrong. So there are no skeletons. So I really think that the committee should take out of that experience is that indeed GCIS is on the right track and that everything is all above board. You will see, Chair, even on our audit report, we don't hide stuff. So we make it very difficult for auditors to pronounce negatively on us because we are the first ones to admit. We are not saying we are innocent, we don't make mistakes, there's nothing that is not wrong. Whatever is wrong, we are the first to own up. That is the culture that we have achieved. We are the first to own up and put it up there. So by the time the Auditor General gets to it, we already have exposed it. So I really think in terms of ensuring that we run clean governance, GCIS, we're doing our best to do that. So I really think it's a compliment, the way they are behaving. We are not at all worried about that. It's unlikely that they will say, they might actually say that Manyi did not honor the meeting, as it were, just to get something negative. I think it will be further confirmation in terms of their agenda. And when that happens, we'll probably deal with that in a much more responsible manner, because sometimes this public spat is negative. But we'll find a responsible way so that we don't sink to those kinds of levels, as it were. Uneven skills, what we mean by this, and what's going on with uneven skills, I think the point we're making here is that GCIS is looking at improving government-wide communication. This does not talk to just GCIS employees. It talks to the whole government communication skill space, as it were, that we have various communicators that have got various skills. Some people have got the actual physical qualification of communication, but the actual communication skill is another matter. Other people have got experience in communication, but without the academic background that goes with it. So it's all those kinds of nuances that we say at the end of the day, how do we ensure that a government communicator is a government communicator that inspires confidence, is a government communicator that communicates government messages clearly and unambiguously. So those are the kinds of things that we're looking at. This is why we put this some kind of academy, if you like, where we work very closely with Palama to make sure that our communicators are skilled uniformly This skill also includes not only government communicators, politicians as well, in terms of a whole range of things, how to appear on TV, how to make your point succinctly, and all of that. So also train politicians as well. So all we are saying here is that we want to make sure that whoever faces a camera, whoever has to communicate, must do so in a most professional manner possible. Distribution of funds to provinces, we're looking to how that looks like, but we can assure members here that we are very sensitive to provinces. In fact, Honorable Chair, during the State of the Nation Address, to cover some of the issues that have been raised here, we actually had screens in the outer areas where when the President was speaking, would congregate people in a hall. We've got pictures to show this. Would congregate people in a hall, would have a big screen so that the President can be listened to. Of the 65 community radio stations, we made sure that all 65 of these community radio stations are plugged in, as it were, and people could hear what the President had to say. So I think, Chair, we go out of our way to make sure that we cover provinces, and we have a particular, I mean, Vuk'uzenzele, as things stand, is largely distributed in those kinds of areas, rural areas, semi-rural areas, and so on. That's where most of the Vuk'uzenzele is. We don't have a lot of Vuk'uzenzele in Gauteng and in Cape Town and so on, but it's largely in those areas. But we are looking at making sure that Vuk'uzenzele does come into the urban areas as well, so that even opinion makers begin to talk about some of the information that is contained in the Vuk'uzenzele. I don't know if I'm missing any other questions.
I think you've responded to all questions. Let me at this present moment thank you very much for coming to the select committee, and we will still meet again. If there are urgent matters, we will communicate, and you must also do likewise. I think after listening to the strategic planning, we will also do oversight to all those areas that you have mentioned to us, and then we will talk to you about them. Where we see that there is a need for intervention, we will report. I think we have come to the end of our meeting. The meeting stands adjourned.